I'm back home. I'm late. I'm jet lagged. All my clothes are dirty. I've had to go to like my free swag gear, which for those of you watching the video would have just seen is Clippy versus Octocat. Thank you, Microsoft, for the free t-shirts, which are useful when everything else is still in the suitcase. So obviously I am back home. Actually, it mostly looks like home. If you're watching the video, there is nothing on the walls because the walls are being painted and I came home and it looked very very sparse. But other than that, it is the same usual home environment. This is late. I'm doing it on a Sunday. I was very, very tempted to try and do this like the day before I left the US, but I basically at the end of a pretty chaotic trip had like a half a day and a little bit in New York, and I just kind of went, well, I'm not going to go and enjoy myself. Have some time out. I'm going to talk more about New York actually now because I want to sort of recap what I have done. So I was in Minneapolis. That's right, when I did the last video. Pushed that out, went to New York on Friday before last, which would normally be 9 days, except time zone. So maybe it was 8 days. A little while ago. Let's just say a little while ago. Went to New York a little while ago, had the weekend there, which was actually pretty nice. Had like a super nice day on the Saturday. It was my second ever trip to New York. I was there 6 or 8 weeks ago, something like that, for the first time. But actually had some downtime. So that was nice. I kind of rode the little city bike things they have there, for those of you who have been there before, all over the place, visited a bunch of bars and breweries and restaurants, and actually had a nice day on the Saturday, spent a lot of the Sunday catching up on all the things that I hadn't been doing whilst I've been conferencing, and then got to NDC Security. So did the NDC Security workshops Monday, Tuesday. Went straight on to the next thing, which was a Pluralsight event. We had a little invite-only Pluralsight thing for a bunch of organizations using their training things. Did that on Wednesday, which takes me through to the Thursday when I might have recorded this, but I went and did some nice stuff anyway. Went to a very nice barbecue place in Brooklyn, actually. So that was good fun. Now, as a result, I didn't blog anything this week. I know I've been a little bit slow on the blogging. There's travel and all sorts of other reasons I will talk about at some point in the future. But there were a bunch of other things happening, and I ended up just sort of looking through my Twitter feed to see what was going on, because there were a few things that stuck in my mind, and I thought today might just kind of be like a pretty short one, if I'm honest, because again, it's late anyway. And I'll touch on a few things which I thought were interesting stories during the week. And then in the week coming, crap, I'm going to be away. I'll get to when I'm away, and I'll get to the fact the next one's probably going to be late as well. All right, on to the interesting things. I wrote last year about Google's Advanced Protection Program and using U2F keys as a sort of singular means of 2FA. So, you know, the user username and password stuff, and then UTF key. No QR codes, no soft tokens, no SMSs, U2F. And I was very happy with this. And I got the two keys, and I'll link through to the blog post when I explained all this. And it was all fine. And then this week, Google emailed everyone and said, look, there's a bit of a glitch with the Fetian Bluetooth low energy keys. You got to send them back. Oh, in fact, they didn't even say send them back. I think they go into the rubbish bin. You got to get new ones. And this was related to changes, apparently changes in iOS 12.3, which all my devices are actually now running. So we'll see if they still work authentication-wise. And the internet kind of blew up with headlines about how even advanced protection programs, etc., have flaws. Now, this was kind of a little bit out of whack. And in fact, I'm looking at the Register piece here. I'll link through to this. The Register, their title is Titanic Disaster Bluetooth Blunder Sinks Google's 2FA Keys, Free Replacements Offered. A pairing problem makes an account compromise possible, although improbable. And the last bit there is kind of the key, right? The improbability of having a pairing problem, because the attack against this apparently requires someone to be in really close proximity of your key whilst you're using it and be able to snare one of the codes that it would send wirelessly. And of course, a lot of the value proposition of using things like U2F keys is to prevent against phishing, which is not when you normally have the attacker within close proximity of you. So I don't have any worries about the security side of this. It's just, I've got to fill out a form, get a new key, I'll have to unenroll the old one and re-enroll the new one. Bit of a pain in the ass, small thing in the grand scheme of things, particularly given how important people's Google keys are, or Google accounts rather are. So anyway, that's that. It's just not a big deal. Other things, this was a bit more of a big deal. Forbes got MageCarted. So for those of you not familiar, MageCart is what seems to be a collective of groups who've been very good at getting JavaScript running on the checkout pages of various websites around the world. And they've done this by doing things like compromising the CMS of an application, therefore being able to put code onto the site, including embedding external JavaScript files, which could then listen to event changes on, or listen to events or content changes on fields. So if you can get that on a credit card checkout page, for example, and British Airways have gone through this, Ticketmaster have gone through this, then you've got a problem because you can then start to exfil the data which has been entered into the form. So MageCart seems to keep popping up. In fact, there was another one in the news just recently. It was like, oh yeah, there's just like a really large number of sites that had also been MageCart at the same time. The Forbes one I thought was interesting because Forbes has also been very notable for telling people to turn off their ad blockers in order to view the site. And of course, then people have been going, well, that's crap because I have the ad blockers to stop the nasty things, and now you've got the MageCart on the site. So like that was a tiny bit amusing, admittedly. Interesting, looking at the details here, and there's I'll link to a tweet here from Bad Packets, who's been very, very good actually at identifying sites with MageCart stuff on here. It looks like they were using a domain here called fontawesome.ga or GQ? Well, that's really small. What TLD is .gq? It's not Georgia. Anyway, somewhere I'm not familiar with. So we're sort of pulling in this external font. This looks like that might have actually been the data posted off actually that, to that host name. But certainly if you saw that name and you saw Font Awesome, you go, okay, well, that seems pretty benign. But inevitably, when we look at the contents of what was loaded from this this external site, there's a whole bunch of obfuscated JavaScript here. We can take a pretty good guess at what's going to be behind the deobfuscation of this. So, you know, again, I've written a heap of times about the fact of or how things like content security policies and sub-resource integrity together make a really big difference to this sort of stuff. And it's kind of funny, actually, because I'm looking at the source code here of the Forbes webpage in this Bad Packets tweet. And just above what's been highlighted here in terms of the malicious code, there's all this stuff around Google Tag Manager. And very often when I do things like CSP and SRI in the workshops, people say, well, yes, that's nice, but the problem is if we put, say, content security policy in there, and then it's like the marketing manager uses Google Tag Manager and has their own CMS, and they want to embed arbitrary stuff from third parties into the website, it's hard to use CSP because we don't know what they're going to put in there. And it's like, well, okay, on the one hand, I can see how that is a problem. On the other hand, have a listen to what you just said. You said, like, the marketing department, who's got no idea of the technical implications of doing this, is able to run arbitrary script and put, who, you know, like God knows what on your website. Are you really, really sure you want to do this? Because maybe that's the discussion you should be having, as opposed to the discussion about, do we need CSP? So I think this is a little bit ironic to see Google Tag Manager sitting there being the thing which is often causing people not to use CSPs and SRI, which are the things which could have stopped the MageCart stuff, which is then like a few lines down on the page. Hopefully you can see the irony of that. So that was interesting. Now here's the other thing which is pretty cool. Let's Encrypt have launched their own CTlog. Now, this is super cool because CTlogs are a very important part of the transparency of the ecosystem of how we generate and roll out certificates. They're not the only CTlog out there. There's a few others, including from Sectigo, formerly Komodo CA, formerly Komodo, who I have been very critical of in the past, for very good reason. But they have done a good job here insofar as they have bankrolled this rollout of the CTlog, or largely bankrolled, I think it was the words, for Let's Encrypt. So this is pretty cool because it was only a week and a half ago I did the keynote in Minneapolis where I'm showing how Komodo tried to trademark the name Let's Encrypt to try and stop Let's Encrypt from actually even being able to live in the first place. And now the sort of successive companies, and in fairness, successive leadership as well, is sort of going, hey, let's help these guys run their logs. So, you know, that's cool. Good on Sectigo. Good stuff for that. So that gives another CT log in the ecosystem, which is good. And, you know, being run by Let's Encrypt, extra good because we know that there's going to be a lot of transparency and they're going to do this in just the right way that we would expect a CT log to be run. So good news on that front. Now, next one. In fact, this is the last thing in my news, so this is actually going to be a really nice, super short one this week. The European Blogger Awards are back again. Now, for context, I've still got this over here. This was the results of last year, which I was very happy with. European Cybersecurity Blogger Awards. Apparently, I'm a European Cybersecurity Blogger. Somehow, I qualify. Grand Prix prize to the best overall security blog, which was lovely. Now, bang on, almost a year ago, Scott Helm and I were over in London. I got one of those. He got another really nice one as well. And then after that, we got the Report URI Best Emerging Technologies from the Info Security event as well, which was awesome. We're not up for that award this year, but I noticed my name popped up in a few places here. I'm going to put a link in so you can vote for me, please, because it'd be really nice to get another one of these. Bunch of different categories here. Looks like about 14 different categories. So I'm in there individually as the Legends of Cybersecurity Hall of Fame, which is nice. Extra nice because it's the day before I got to get my Hall of Fame award from Info Security EU conference. So that would be a really nice back-to-back, just saying. And then also nominated under the Legends of Cybersecurity Grand Prix for the best overall security blog. And in fairness, there is some pretty good competition in there too. There's some very, very switched on people. So I'm there in those two. And we've also got, let me see, here we go. The corporate's best commercial Twitter account, have I been pwned? Now, you know what? I have not even looked at this for ages. How many Twitter followers does Have I Been Pwned actually have? I thought it was like 70,000 or something. 76,900. That's nice. I'm not sure how corporate it is, but, you know, okay. It is literally just me sitting here in this room most of the time doing it, but nice. Okay, vote for that one. So I'll link through to that as well. In a slightly more serious note, the thing about awards like this is they materialize what is often just copious amounts of very hard, isolated work. It's like literally sitting here in this room until late at night trying to write code, publish data breaches, push other things out. It's extremely laborious. It can feel very unsatisfying at times when you're going through the hard work. So seeing recognition, and particularly physical recognition, like something that you hold in your hand like that, is just enormously fulfilling. So, look, I'll link to that. I'd love to get some votes on that. It would be very nice. I'm going to be in London either way, and I'm going to have a good time there either way. But that would kind of make it extra nice. So that's like literally everything I had on my list before I get to the sponsorship stuff. Next week, this week coming, I'm going to be in Melbourne doing some private security training for the latter half of the week. So I'll be there on Thursday and Friday, which is why I hesitated about thinking when this next one is going to go out. I might have to record this next video Saturday my time. I am becoming more conscious of, frankly, just overdoing it and trying to squeeze too much into tight spaces. So, look, I'll probably try and aim for that on Saturday. Maybe there'll even be some new stuff to talk about as well. So last thing, sponsorship this week. Twilio is sponsoring, and of course Twilio, as they have done many times throughout this year, is referring to Authy and Authy's ability to implement 2FA on your web things. So definitely do go and check that out. If you are building anything online now where there's going to be accounts and auth, make sure that you give people the option for 2FA and make it really, really easy to use via the likes of Twilio and of course Authy. So thanks very much for watching. This is super short. I'm looking at like 14 minutes on the clock now. I hope this short form has been okay this week. I'm yet to miss one, which is why I still wanted to keep this cadence up. And then we'll see what I have coming up next week. And then after that, it's getting very close to me going away again. But I'm going to talk about that later on. So thank you very much for watching, and I hope you enjoyed a nice short one.